Living Hope Assembly of God.
Well, we have a treat today. As you guys know, one of our part of who we are, and we know the heart of God, the Missio Dei of God, is the heartbeat of God is to share the good news and the mission, the gospel about Jesus Christ, or not just here, but around the world. And today we have some missionaries with us. They're itinerating, Brother Kirk and Sister Marla, right? I said that right? Yes, they're here with us today. They're here to speak to us about South Africa, where God has called them to. Isn't that amazing that we have a missionaries here to South Africa that's preaching the gospel all the way over there in Africa, thousands of miles away. People are being born again. People are coming to know Jesus Christ. You want to know how important missions is? Listen, think about it. Close your eyes and just imagine a face. Not only is that a face, but that's a soul that has to spend eternity somewhere. And these guys have an opportunity to help in that effort in preaching the gospel at a place and in a place where we probably would never go. Thank God for our missionaries. Thank God for a church that desires to send missionaries, to support missionaries. Listen, that's called faith. And God has given us faith so that we can give, so that we can cheer them on as they proclaim the goodness of Jesus Christ. And I want you to give them a round of applause as they get ready to come. Kirk and Marla Spain. Amen. Let's give them a...
Good, beautiful morning. It's a beautiful morning, isn't it? The opportunity that we had this morning, just in a brief drive over here, we're staying at some friend's house in Gretna, so it was a little bit of a trip, and my wife and I just had the opportunity to talk a little bit in the car and had the music off and just the two of us, and what did you say? How beautiful it is to see corn that's Thai, the beans and the green and everything else that we don't have the opportunity to see a lot of. So I'll let my wife bring some greetings. This is my wife, Marlene, and we do serve in the country of South Africa, and I'm glad that she is able to be with me this morning, so I'll let her say hi, and then I will step in. Thank you. I too bring you greetings. It is a joy to be here. Thank you, Pastor, for having us. And I'd always like to say thank you to everyone who is part of the family of God that we are a part of, no matter where we are in the world. And my wife and I, Marlene, do have the privilege to be your representatives in the country of South Africa. And we count it as a privilege, and don't take it lightly, the opportunity that we have to be your instruments and to be your representatives when we live in a country and are able to do what we're able to do because of faithfulness and partnership of people in churches like this. And as you were mentioning this morning, Pastor mentioned BGMC and Speed the Light and Life for the Lost and all these things that you hear about, you see about. And I'll tell you right now, we say thank you very much because they help us. When we climb into our car in the country of South Africa, there are many times where we count it a privilege and we say thank you to the youth of Nebraska that helped us supply a Speed the Light car. There are times, every time that I teach a class in Bible school, I use a projector that is a BGMC projector, that BGMC money and Life for the Lost and Speed the Light money give, and that we are able to do things when we go out and do and speak in ministry and other places. Many of the tools that we use, we say thank you for your faithfulness across this state and places like Blair. And so we do stand on the faithfulness of people like you and the churches like you. We are there based on a itineration cycle that we do to come and share, and the financial support and the gifts that you give, we count it a blessing. And we want to, first of all, say thank you, like I have said today, for that opportunity and that we have today to be able to stand here and just give some words of encouragement, give a report. What I want to do this morning is give a little report, but before I do that, I'm going to greatly apologize. I feel like a first-time rookie missionary today. I did the cardinal no-no. I updated the PowerPoint last night and this morning, okay? I had the flash drive, and I had it in there. I saved it. I checked to make sure I could open it, that PowerPoint. And I closed the computer, and I brought the PowerPoint here this morning, and it will not open. So, cardinal rule is always have a backup. Well, guess what? The second flash drive I have is not with me today. My computer's not with me today because we're staying at our friend's house, and I left it all there. It's not even in the car. So, and do you back it up on the cloud? Yes, normally I have it in a Dropbox as well that I can download it, and it did not update to the Dropbox. So, I am a technology goof today. And so I apologize, you're not going to have some visual of what I'm going to say thank you about. Usually it's just a matter of some pictures to show the things that we're doing. But I believe that God can bless us anyway, right? Technology is awesome, pictures are awesome, but I will preface that by saying this. We do have a website, okay, that we do put information on. The primary area that we put stuff is on a Facebook ministry part, not just our personal Facebook, but a ministry Facebook page and a website. So the website information, the Facebook information, will be on our prayer cards out on the table. And so I will ask that you do please pick one of these up. I apologize that the physical address, the mailing address, is wrong on here because we're now going to be living in Kansas City. But there is information on there for our website, in our Facebook. It's just Kirk Marlene Spain. And you can see some of the stuff what I'm talking about today on there and read some of our reports that we have put on there as our ministry through the last number of years in South Africa. So, but I just do want to give a brief summary of the last number of years. My wife and I left to go to South Africa after having been part of an Africa ministry based in Springfield, Missouri for a number of years. And then God moved us back to the continent and the country of South Africa. South Africa is a country that if you've been around for a little while, like some of us, through the years has been in the history because of just some of the political problems and what they called the apartheid government and the separation between the whites and the blacks and everything in those dynamics. And culturally, it's been in the news through the number of years. About 23 years ago now, they gained their full independence, and in the church that we work with, the International Assemblies of God Church that we work with, has actually been in the country as a registered group for about 53 years, and we've partnered with them as Assemblies of God missionaries now for about 53 years. One of the foundational things that we have always done in the Sons of God World Missions, and actually I'm even a product of that because my parents, Jerry and Joyce Spain, have been Nebraska missionaries for over 50 years. Now they've retired, but they've been out of Nebraska for all those years. My parents were involved in Bible school work, and Marlene and I in the last number of years have been in Bible school work ourselves. One of the foundational things that we do is education and training. We truly believe that a spiritual, biblically trained leader is the hope of South Africa, Africa, and the world. We need trained pastors. We need people who are preaching this word as it truly needs to be preached. Let me tell you, one of the biggest challenges that we faced in South Africa is that we have a number of churches. We have a number of churches that I call a goofy church. And that's one of our biggest challenges. is that they are preaching and teaching philosophy that is really, they're trying to say it's theology, but it's their own personal philosophy, and just some teachings that they are bringing. And unfortunately, sometimes, the majority of the times, they call themselves Pentecostal churches because they can throw some things in the Pentecostal circle that they can't in some of the other churches. And so some of the biggest things, challenges that we're facing in South Africa, even amongst the church, is the false teachings and just the goofy teachings that you see happening. Guys calling for people to eat grass, to drink gas, to you name it. And so the foundational things that we're doing is we want to train spirit-filled, biblically trained leaders that are taking the true word of the gospel out. And that's what we've done for the last number of years on the campus of Southern Africa School of Theology. And it's a residential campus that students come. God's raising up a young people across the continent, across the country of South Africa. Granted, we never have enough. There are a lot of places that still need churches. And so one of the movements that we are doing intentionally is a church planting movement based out of training church planters when they come to the Bible school. And so Marlene worked in the business office and taught some classes. I was teaching leadership classes, Bible classes, anything that we can do to partner with, as well as going out and ministering on pretty regularly on weekends and taking students out to do practical ministry in different parts of South Africa. And so it's just a matter of building relationship. And when not too long ago, Marlene and I had the opportunity, I think we had 3 students that were in the car with us on a Sunday morning. We took them and we were headed out to a local church to preach. And I had been there a few times before, and one of the first times that we went, this pastor is one of our leaders in the district that the Bible school's in. The first time that we went there, he showed us a plot of ground that was empty. And he said, you know, they were meeting in a tent, one of these plastic tents, and they'd been doing that for a number of years in this small mining community. Where we were is one of the capitals of the platinum mining of the world. And so they had big mining communities. And so we met there on that Sunday morning under this hot tent. I mean, we're flipped in South Africa. We're in the southern region. It was a December, and that's our hottest month of the year. And I couldn't tell you what the temperature was in that tent, but I felt my head burning through the tent. I need to wear a hat in the tent sometimes, I think, because you could feel it was so hot. And they were talking about wanting to build a church. And this gentleman and his wife, just great people, great pastors. And so the next time that I went, they said that they had gotten permission to build on this property. Well, we were there probably about 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago. And through an initiative that we have in Africa called Africa Tabernacle Evangelism, where we go and put steel structures up, they had partnered with them, and they put this structure up, and they had poured a cement slab, and now they were meeting in this church. And now they're beginning to put the walls up. And one of the things that he said, and the students were able to see, about how the fact that when we can go and put what we call stakes in the ground, when we can put a trained pastor there, it's not about the building, don't get me wrong, okay? It is about the people. But putting a structure there in a church there with a trained pastor is the heart of what God's about, because they know now that church isn't going anywhere. That tent was a temporary structure. But now when they have a trained pastor who is there preaching the word in a building, now that they know they have an investment in that community. And as people would walk by, they can't deny the fact that that church is there. And we were there on that Sunday, and I remember going back with those students later on, and they were just commenting about how that's why they were in Bible school. Because when they see those kind of things, and we train them, they go out and they have that opportunity to put stakes in the ground in a place that God has called them to minister and to build in. And God, 2 of them were actually lady students, and God's using women as well to come to Bible school and be trained and to go out and to minister. And so that's been our ministry the last number of years, and I wish you could meet the students who have graduated and who have gone on, and you see what God is doing in their lives. But yet we need more. I'm not here to tell you something that's false. We need more students. And God is moving us into an area now, a little bit transition, a little bit of ministry, and that we're going to be going not only teaching, but we're going to be working with our local pastors in some leadership development and discipleship development to raise up the next generation of people to go to Bible school. We began to realize there's a cause and effect. We don't have as many students because many of our churches are not discipling. Many of them aren't having Sunday school. Many of them aren't doing the basic things. Pastor, thank you for what you're doing in the young people and the youth and the kids of the Living Hope Assembly here, because that's what it's all about. And Africa right now, they predict by 2030, over half of the population will be under the 15 years and younger. It's a very young generation across the continent of Africa, and we see now where we need to invest in that generation, because that's where our future pastors and leaders of our churches are going to be coming from. And so a little bit of change of ministry for us, and we're looking forward to it. When you go back, we'll be home now for about a year. But more than anything else, we ask for your prayer. We do. We count it an honor to have people, and so to pray for us. And that's really why we have these things right here. All the years that I've ever known, they're known as prayer cards. And so on our table back there, there is a card back there that has our picture on the front. And I apologize, this is a little dated. We're in the process of changing the new ones, and we haven't gotten them yet. But still, one reason is our grandbaby isn't in this picture. We do take one and pray for us. When you see that, put it on your fridge, put it in your Bible, put it whatever. And when you see that, say a prayer for us. And I tell you, at the same time, we pray for the state of Nebraska. We pray for our churches in Nebraska, because we're family. This is us. We're Nebraska missionaries. As we travel across this state, as we begin to travel even more so across this state, as Marlene said, we travel and we see, and we count it a privilege to visit places like Blair. I knew where we knew where Blair was. You know, some people say, Blair, Nebraska, where's that? My wife and I, for 6 years, lived in Chadron, and people say, where's Chadron? How many know where Chadron, Nebraska is? Hey, that's pretty good. Usually on this side of the state, when I ask that question, they're like, where? What? But we worked with Chi Alpha Campus Ministry at Chadron State College for about 6 years in the 90s. And when we would travel to see family in Springfield, Missouri, we would cut through 92 and get on 29 through going through Blair. And so and visited here a number of times previously. So that's just a short synopsis of who we are. And this last time going to the field, it was the first time that it was just the two of us. And I know, as a missionary kid growing up, and my wife is a missionary kid as well, so many times we were leaving our parents. And then they were there, and this time around, that was a little bit different. We left our kids and went over there. And in the time that we were gone, we had a son get married and have a grandbaby before we even came back. And so it's a different phase, but we know that's where God has us. And that's what sustains us, is that we know that when it comes that time to go back, it's going to be hard. Grandma's getting used to that grandbaby. But God has called us, and that's what it's about. It's a calling. And God has put it on our lives. And I want to share this morning in the time that we have. But before I do that, I want to mention this. My dad is getting ready to take a missions team, primarily from people in Nebraska. I don't know if he mentioned this to you or not. He's taking a group of men, and if ladies, you want to go, to Tanzania in January. And he reminded me about this yesterday, and he said, if I want to make mention of it, I'll do so. But they're going to build one of these church planting training schools in the country of Tanzania. And they're calling it the Norm Correll Memorial Training School. Norm Correll was a missionary out of this district for many, many years, and it was pastored and worked in the national office and the rest. And so they're going as a team. And so if you're here today and you're interested in possibly going, please see me after the service, and maybe Pastor, I can get you some information. I think you have my dad's contact information anyway. But if you would be interested in going in January, there's still an opportunity for you to sign up to go. And I believe it's like the third week of January, end of the second week into the third week of January, as an opportunity to go. And they're going to be working and putting one of these structures up and putting some bricks up and helping that church planting school in the country of Tanzania. So I wanted just to mention that this morning as an opportunity. It's not South Africa, but it's my dad and its mission, so we're all for it. We're all together. Amen. We're one group of people, and so no matter what, we count the opportunity for you to go, please do so. But I want to share this morning out of the book of Luke. While you're looking in Luke chapter 5, I'll just mention that we do have a table in the back that has some information on there and the prayer cards. And my wife and I will be back there after the service if you want to stop by and visit. We would count it a privilege to be able to visit with you. Luke chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. And I've titled what I'm going to share this morning, When Jesus Gets in Your Boat. Now, I grew up in East Africa as a missionary kid. And many times for our mission meetings, we would go down to the coastal area of Dar es Salaam. And we would see the fishing boats. the local fishing boats, where many of them would be out all night fishing. And you would see them in the morning, and they would come in, and you'd see them with their nets, and sometimes they were pulling the nets in on the shore. And so what we're going to take a look at this morning is a passage of Scripture where Jesus is teaching, and he runs out of space, and he has to do something, and he gets in somebody's boat. And so that's kind of the preface of the story here. And it's in my Bible, it's called The Calling of the First Disciples. But in Acts. I just got through teaching Acts. So everything now, I'm like, Acts. Sorry, this is the book of Luke, okay? We're in Luke chapter 5. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all the companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up from on shore, left everything, and followed him. Father, I just pray for your word this morning. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have to be here today. And Lord, I pray that you'll just use me as your instrument today, Father, in your name. Amen. You see, in the Bible, we have a number of stories where there was a boat involved and Jesus involved. And each one of those times, something amazing happened. And we're going to take a look at this morning is when Jesus gets into boats, it's just something, not interesting, but somebody walked on water, storms happened, he calmed the storms. But also we see we have life-changing incidents that happen when Jesus got into boats. And so what we're going to talk about today is using the passage of Scripture to show how someone's life changed by Jesus purposefully getting into his world, into his context. And that's what Jesus is all about, and that's what God is all about. He knows where we are, and he will meet us in our context. And see, this is something that as an experience where Jesus gets into our lives, and he changed things in our lives, it's so much not only just about what we're doing and who we are, it's about what he wants from us. You see, understand why and what we are to do when we become children of God. It's not just about a one-time thing. Yes, it is. It is a matter of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, but that's just the beginning. And so now we're going to see in this story of a continuation of something that takes place in somebody's life that transforms. In Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, we see the Lord Jesus helping some fishermen when he got into their lives and changed the course of their lives. The biggest truth, though, I want us to understand out of this passage of Scripture this morning is this. The greatest purpose we have in our life of following Jesus Christ is, in this context, what he calls catching of men. In other words, that is, we are witnesses for him. That's what we are called to do. When we become children of God, we become called to be catching of men. This passage shows how Jesus used the context of ministry to relate to the people he was ministering to, and how that context became part of their mission of their life. But Pastor, you mentioned Missio Dei earlier. I don't know if you had Paul York and know Paul or any of those other people, but a lot of these people talk about Missio Dei, the mission of God. We are here today. Let me tell you today, from the book of Genesis to Revelation is the mission of God. And the mission of God is that everyone has the opportunity to hear the gospel. That everybody has the opportunity, and we are part of that today. On this July 22nd, 2018, we are part of God's mission in Missio Dei. And we all have a part to play in it. If we are a child of God, we have an opportunity, and we are called to be a part of that today. And so as we begin to take a look at this, I'm going to go down through this a little bit and then share 3 points towards the end of what I want to say. You see, Jesus was standing there, okay, but people began to crowd around him, and they began to push closer to him. This was really early on in his ministry, but yet he was still pulling crowds, and he couldn't go anywhere else. And so as he kept backing up, he got closer to the water, and so it pushed him closer to the water's edge. He had to do something. And so you see here in this passage where he had a choice of two boats. You see, nothing is coincidence in Jesus' ministry. And so as he began to choose a boat, he chose one particular boat. But there was a reason why, because it was Simon's boat. As he got into the boat, he asked him to push out a little ways so that he could teach. You see, as it says here, where was he to go? All right, he had an opportunity to share. They were listening. It says here they were listening to the word of God. But I want us to draw attention to something here. They were listening to the word coming from God. This was Jesus. Jesus wasn't, he didn't have this. He was the word. Okay? And so it wasn't just something that Peter here, I mean, Luke is just throwing aside. Because really through this whole story, we don't hear what Jesus is teaching. Many times in the Bible, when they write about what they were teaching. But you see, this context here is a little bit different. It was about the ministry, and particularly to one person. You see, Jesus still understands what it means to minister to the one. It's many times we talk about the multitudes, and there were multitudes listening to him. But in this context, it is about the life-changing experience of one person. You see, Jesus knows who we are and where we are as individuals today. Jesus' primary things that Jesus did was teach the word of God, and that's what we see here today, is that he was teaching it. And as we go on, you see, the importance of the word of God is whoever hears it, when they said, "Here's my word," they are to cross over. In John 5:24, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes in who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." You see, that's what this word is about. It's about getting people to cross over from death to life. You see, many times in our churches, in our lives today, it's not just enough to listen. Not just enough to listen to what others have to say. But as a believer, a minister, it's not enough just to get and to keep it. But we are called to share this word and to get people to cross over into the gift of eternal life. That's why we witness. That's why we minister. That's why we're in South Africa. It's about the one. It's about the multitudes. It's about other people who haven't heard the word of God. And that's where, when we share the word, this word, the primary purpose is to get people to cross over to the gift of eternal life and the message of Jesus Christ. It must be important for you and I today, even in our context. And as I mentioned there in verses 2 and 3, there were two boats, and Jesus chose Simon's boat. Was it a coincidence? No, there was a plan. See, can you imagine Simon's thinking there? He's sitting there. He's been fishing all night. He's cleaning his nets. And I'm sure he's kind of listening to what Jesus had to say, okay? Because this, as we'll see, this wasn't the first time Simon had been in the vicinity of Jesus. So I'm sure he's just kind of sitting there, and he kind of looks up and is like, "Oh, man, he's coming towards my boat." Really? Yeah, he is. And he gets in his boat and he tells him to push little his way. Yeah, he did. And he obeyed. And so Simon, this is the person we also call Peter later on. He pushed out a little bit from shore. You see, all of a sudden now he was a captive audience. He couldn't get away. It was beyond just the cleaning of the nets and doing the things that they had been doing the whole night before and the tired and the sleepy. He had to listen. And so when he became a captive, it created a space for Jesus to speak. But it also was Jesus getting into Simon's boat. You see, nothing was going to stop Jesus from teaching. It was the word coming from God was the primary ministry. Nothing was going to stop. He sat and taught. He taught from a boat. It wasn't a podium like this in a church like this. It was in the context of where people were coming to hear him. Friends, that's what we need today. We need a context of places where people want to come hear what we have to say. And sometimes it means getting into their boat when we're having an opportunity to minister. You see, Luke didn't give us the details here what Jesus taught, but that wasn't really the main point of what he was writing about here. Jesus was in Simon's boat was the most important thing. In verse 4, we see he told Simon. Okay? What did he say in verse 4? He told Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for your catch. Now, can you imagine Peter's thinking at this time? Or Simon's thinking? It's like, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught a thing. We're cleaning our nets. We're going to do this thing again tomorrow night. We're the fishermen. We know what's happening. And you're telling me now to put out a little bit farther and throw a net out? See, but nothing was going to stop Jesus from being in Simon's boat to get his attention. And so as we see this, we talk a little bit about his relationship previously. Simon had a context of a contact with Jesus previously through his brother Andrew. Andrew was hanging around John the Baptist, and so Simon knew of Jesus. And he knew about some of the teachings that he had and the things that were taking place. In John 1, 40 through 41, we can read about it. But something must have happened, and Simon went back to what he was normally doing. He went back to fishing. He didn't stick around Jesus. He wasn't traveling with Jesus. You see, sometimes it's the same way for you and I. Sometimes we can have an experience, we can have something, but yet we just fall back into the comfortable thing of not being as close as we used to be because that's just the comfortable thing that we're used to. In fact, we see even later on in Peter's life that even after the crucifixion, where did Peter go? He went back to fishing. He went back to his comfort zone until Jesus appeared to them and said, you know what, you got a greater purpose in life, and you're going to share the word, and you're going to have the New Testament church take place as disciples. And we see that sometimes that's the way it is for us. In fact, sometimes we get so comfortable we can't even fathom what Jesus has for us for next. But you know what? He has a plan. But this time, when Jesus got into his boat, things changed in Peter and Simon's life. The target was Peter. And Jesus knew what was going to happen. You see, Peter is the Peter of Acts. He knew the potential that Peter had. Okay? He knew what was going to take place in his life, but at the same time, he knew the potential that Peter had. And that's why he was calling him to be one of the first disciples. And so they put out into the deep. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. But Simon answered in verse 5. He says, Master. Master. You see, a master is a teacher or somebody of authority. And so he's saying there, you know what, Master, okay. But if you say so. The key here is just because a lot had not worked previously doesn't mean that Jesus understands what the potential is, what could happen in the next phase. And so Peter was thinking about what he had not been able to do previously. Jesus was teaching him what it meant for the future. And when it was a matter of obedience, Jesus was trying to get into Peter's life to change the course of his life. And that's what he was doing. You see, and that's the way it is sometimes for us. Peter was fixing to have a life-changing experience, and it happened because he knew that he needed to be obedient. And that's what it is called for us as well. When Jesus gets in our boat, it's a matter of being obedient to what he has for us. In verses 6 through 7, we see what happened. What happened? The nets were so full, the boats began to sink. Was it about the fish? No, it was a miracle. Okay, this was the middle of the day. This wasn't the normal time of their fishing. It was a miracle. But was it about the fish? No, it was about obedience. It was about Peter saying, okay, but if you say so, Master, we'll do so. And so they were obedient. And so we see Jesus, did Jesus know that this was going to take place? Yes. They caught so many, they called for help, their boat was sinking. I'm sure they were happy, there was a celebration. But I want you to notice this, in the midst of everything that was going on there, in verse 8, something happened. Can you see, imagine Simon's pulling in the nets, and all of a sudden it dawns on him. It's that aha moment in his life. And I'm sure he looked up and he caught Jesus' eyes and it's like, the catch was me, wasn't it? The catch was me. It's not about these nets and these fish. That you're standing in my boat and what does he have to say? All of a sudden now, he falls at Jesus' knee. And what does he say? Lord. Simon Peter says, go away from me, Lord. Previously, it was Master. Master is a teacher. But Lord comes from, it means you lord over something. It is something that an overseer to whom a person or thing belongs. It's a supreme thing. All of a sudden now, Peter realizes, it's gone from Master. The catch is me. Lord, go away from me. I'm not worthy. Can you relate? That's us. That's us. But you see, when Jesus gets in our boat, when he gets that aha moment, I don't know where it was in your life, but in that aha moment, so many times in our lives, it changes the course of our lives. The aha moment for us in missions was at a chapel service, Evangel University. I can't tell you today what the sermon was. I can't. But the catch was me being willing to go to the front and get on my knees and say, I will go where you want me to go. That was the aha moment. That's when Jesus got in my boat, and Marlene was willing to come along with me. And we've had a wonderful opportunity in home missions, foreign missions. But I'm here to tell you today that as we become believers, in that time that Jesus got in your boat, wherever it was, I don't know. It might have been youth camp, kids camp, wherever it was. But when Jesus gets in there and he becomes Lord of your life, we surrender ourselves to his will. And it has to be a continual thing. And so now as we see this story here, Simon Peter says, go away from me, Lord. I'm not worthy. To whom, you know, it's the opposite of saying, hey, this is awesome. Look at all these fish and let's go sell them and market and everything else. But that wasn't his. Jesus saw Peter. Simon saw Jesus up close. He was in his boat and he knew it was going to change something in his life. You see, when we see Jesus for who he truly is, when he becomes the Lord of our lives, things change. God was in his boat, and God gets into our boats. This experience put Simon Peter at Jesus' knees. When Jesus gets into our boat, we need to fall at his knees on a continual basis and seek the direction of what God has for us. Jesus gets real when he gets in our boat. In verse 9, it says there that they were astonished. They were amazed at what they were catching. But this was just the beginning of the amazing things that were going to take place through Simon Peter. It was amazing. Scripture goes on to tell us in Acts of Peter and the disciples and the growth of the early church and the context that they were in. Verse 10, he said to Simon, don't be afraid. That's the words that he had to say to Simon. Don't be afraid. You see, God is not out to scare us, but he's out to prepare us. And can it be a scary thing? Yes. There are going to be scary times if we're obedient, when we don't know what's really going to take place. But that's what we're called in our faith, to take a step of faith in those scary circumstances and saying, Lord, okay, you're pushing me a little bit beyond what I'm comfortable, but Lord, if you say so, I will. And that's what we're called to do. And that's what happened here. Don't be afraid. Jesus talked at Peter's level. Notice how he answered, don't be afraid, because now you will be what? Catching men. Context. Peter could relate. Simon Peter could relate. You see, Jesus knows where you are in your context. Sometimes he might call us out of our comfortable context, just like us going to South Africa. And I'm here to tell you today that God still needs more people in missions. God needs more people in ministry. God needs more people in his army of preaching and serving. And not only that, full-time, but wherever you are as well today in your context. He knows where you are, and I can tell you today, he's going to equip you for where you are in your context if you are faithful to do what he calls you to do. Don't be afraid. I love those words. I love them. And so now he's going to be catcher of men. You see, there's no greater calling. It's not just the pastor's job. It's all of our job to get people to cross over. Verse 11, he says there, drop everything. They did. Obedient. Everything. Sometimes that's what it's called. That's what it's about, dropping everything and making that move. And so this morning, there's three things real quickly I want us to take us out of this. When Jesus gets into our boat, we must put out. We have to go deeper. And sometimes it requires even deeper to get our attention. When we have a life-changing experience, it changes everything, just as it happened to Simon Peter here. When Jesus gets in our boat, friends, things change. Things changed in your life the first time you accept him as your Lord and Savior. That's the way it needs to continually be. But when Jesus asks us to go deep, we need to be obedient. We need to make that step, even when we don't want to. Sometimes the biggest limit to what God wants us to do is our limit of the vision of what we think we can see when God sees greater things through us. But when Jesus gets in our boat and he calls us to follow him, it pushes us beyond our comfort zone and our experience and our abilities. He does not call us to do things that we've already done in the same way that we've always done them. He calls us to do new things in the way that He wants them done. He calls us to launch out further and deeper into places that we can't depend on ourselves, but we have to depend on Him. And that's the way it was. You see, Simon Peter, that day Jesus had gotten into his boat, it not only changed how he lived and made a living, okay, but it changed the way he died. History will show that, obviously, as part of the disciples and the New Testament church, when it came the time for him to be crucified to death, he told them, I don't want to die like Jesus died. He asked to be crucified upside down. It changed the course of his life and changed the reason why he died. You see, the second thing is we need to put in. Even when we don't want to, when Jesus has our attention, we must do it. We do the putting in of the effort to share Christ, and Christ performs the things that he wants done when we're obedient to do that. When Jesus asks us to do scary things we don't want to, we shouldn't wait, and we shouldn't be afraid. It is those times something amazing happens. Jesus' appearance to Peter and to the other disciples, even later on, he told them, when they had gone back to fishing, but Jesus reminds them, he tells them then, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep is the number one task that we are called to do. We are to get out on our knees. We are to put in the things and the efforts that God does through us in our obedience. And you see, verse 10, there was a turning point. He says, from now on. And friends, that's what it's all about. That's what the third thing here is that we are to put down. Put down. It means to lay at the feet. How many times has Jesus called you to put down something and it's hard to do? But that's what it is. It's a matter of surrender. How many times has Jesus asked to do something, to put down something that we know we should and we find it tough to do? Too often we just want to wait and sit on the shore. But yet God is asking us to put out a little farther and to put down things that are hindering us so that we can move forward. And friends, it's all about the fact that don't be afraid. See, because when Jesus gets in our boat, he's not there to sink us. He's there to help us. The biggest truth of this whole parable is the greatest purpose we can have in our life is to follow Jesus and catching him in. And it might be in Blair. It might be in the state of Nebraska somewhere. It might be in Iowa, in the United States, or possibly even anywhere else that God calls you to do. And as I said, God is still calling missionaries today. But I want to share in closing this morning a story about a couple that came to Bible school. And this is a story of how Jesus gets in people's boats. And it changes the course of their life. This couple was a very progressive entrepreneur couple in Rustenburg, South Africa, where we lived. They owned franchises and were doing very well. They were part of the Assemblies of God church there. All of a sudden, our school year in South Africa starts and goes January to December. And all of a sudden, in one January in registration, this couple shows up. And they're middle age, got some high school teenage kids, one's in university. And they show up and they want to register. And so we kind of start asking, well, you know, well, what about your businesses? God showed up in their boat. And I think it was not even a month before this January. God put it in their heart that they needed to sell the franchises and go to Bible school to become ministers. And in 3 weeks, they sold them, and they showed up, and for 2 years, faithfully, in school. I mean, these are people, she has an MA from Buffalo University in education, you know, and they're coming back, and they're going to a diploma program. They came in, they served. I wish you could see pictures. I apologize, the picture's not here. They swept floors, they mopped floors, they did everything that we would ask anybody to come to Bible school. But God had put it on their heart to plant a church in urban South Africa. And they wanted to become trained pastors. They really believed in that aspect. Well, here, they finished up school last December, and they lived in Rustenburg, and they just were praying and driving into Johannesburg, the capital city of South Africa, about where they were going to go. And we kept touch with them here and there, and then one weekend we ran into them, and they said, all right, we're moving. And we haven't sold our house, we haven't done anything here in Rustenburg, and we're looking for a place to live in Johannesburg, and we have faith that God's going to give us this place. In 3 weeks' time, they had rented their house in Rustenburg, found a house to live in Johannesburg, and were driving around praying for a place that they could meet. the last Sunday, last weekend of April, we went down to visit them, and they hadn't confirmed a place. They were just being faithful. God had gotten in their boat, and they knew that they had to surrender it. And on that Saturday afternoon, they took us around a whole quadrant, and they kept saying, no church, no church, no church, no church. Urban Africa is one of the fastest growing parts of Africa in the world. The urbanization, people are just moving. You see these duplexes and apartment complexes and high rises and everything. And they said, God, we just know. And so we pulled into this one place, and they said, this is a place that we've kind of thinking about, we've been praying about. And so we pulled into, it was a short soccer complex, and they had a clubhouse. And they said, this would be awesome for us to meet in. So we go there, and my mom and dad were with us. We pray for them on that Saturday afternoon that they would be able to find out if they could use that place for church or not. The next day, he got a phone call from the owner and said, we're going to rent it to you. 2 weeks later, the first Sunday in May, they had their first Sunday service. And I think they had about 22 people show up. And they call it the upper room. Friends, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. God got in their boat, changed the course of their life. People who had done very well in the business world. And just recently, I had an opportunity. He sent some pictures from Mother's Day and some of these other things. And they're just having the time of their lives. But you see, when Jesus gets in our boat, things change. And it's about not being afraid. It's about being obedient. And I just want to pray with you all this morning that God will use you. Father, I just pray today for Blair, Nebraska. Lord, for the people here in Living Hope. God, there is Living Hope. We thank you for that. And Lord, I pray today that you will bring us back to the point that you got into our boat. And Lord, I pray that you get into it in a new way today. Lord, I pray that you will just begin to lead us into places and things that we can't even comprehend, but Lord, we want to be obedient. And God, I pray that we will not be afraid. But Lord, it will be something that you prompt in our hearts. God, it might be a neighbor. It might be a coworker. Lord, it might be something. But Lord, that's what it's all about today. It's about taking your word to each and every person that's around us. And Lord, I pray for a blessing upon Pastor and his wife and his family today. God bless them. Thank you for the calling. I pray, thank you for this anniversary that they've had, Lord. And Lord, I pray for this congregation in the town, city of Blair. God, that you will begin to use each and every person of this congregation. Lord, use them today. Let them not be afraid. Lord, I pray that you will bring people into their lives that they can't even comprehend today. But Lord, that they will be obedient for what you have. And Lord, I pray today, and maybe even out of this congregation, you will raise somebody into ministry. God, you will raise somebody into missions. Lord, we need so many laborers. We need so many more. God, I pray that you will use them mightily. And we thank you for this, Lord, in your name. Amen.
I keep hearing the word of the Lord, do not fear. What an amazing thing to read and to hear such a powerful message today. One of the greatest factors that hinder us from doing what God has called us to do is fear. He stands and he raises his ugly head in opposition to what God is saying to us. And oftentimes he hinders us, not for just moments, not just for a season, but for some of us, he hinders us for years. And we hide in our shell and we miss an opportunity. It's my desire as a pastor that God will speak to our hearts in this place today. That we would no longer sit on our hands, but that we would take advantage of the opportunity to share the love of God with somebody on our job, somebody in our community, somebody in our city, somebody wherever we're going in life. We're the church. We're the bride of Christ. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. We are ambassadors, strangers in a foreign land, just passing through. This is not our home. Listen, our language, the way we talk, the way we think should be drastically different. And when someone hears our voice and when we speak, the articulation of what we're trying to say, the very words that rose off of our lips, the people around us, the foreign, the people that live here, the natives of this world, spiritually speaking, the lost, those who are away from God, when they hear us speak, when they see the activity of our lives, they should say, this is someone that's not from here. What? God can do that. God can break our heart in such a way that, man, this church will become a church that missionaries are born out of. This church could be a church where pastors and leaders and doctors and lawyers who has an occupation of one thing, but God is doing something completely different. Right here, right now, it starts with us. Listen, I don't say this recklessly, but we are a Spirit-filled church. We believe that God is going to do more than just the normal in and through us. We heard the word of God today. We know what God is doing in South Africa. We heard the word today. We know what God is doing in Tanzania. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to doubt. We don't have to hear stories that are not true. We heard the word today. God is on the move in this world. People are being born again right now. Hearts are being changed. Lives are being turned around. Marriages are being restored. Lives are being made new. People are being born again. However many ways I need to say it, God is on the move. And I am thankful that God is on the move right here at Living Hope Assembly of God. If you are a first-time visitor, I pray that we will see you again. If you're a second, third time, if you're here in this place, thank you for being here today. And we're blessed by your presence. We're thankful as pastors. But listen, at the end of the day, may God get the glory for everything that takes place in this building. Amen. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I thank you for an opportunity to be here. God, I thank you for what you're doing, God, in our lives, Father. I pray that your word, Lord Jesus, would not fall on deaf ear. I pray, God, that we will live out what you have called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you and thank you for being here.
Living Hope Assembly of God.